This one goes out to all our Dodger fans. We bleed blue, homie.
Hello, Claremont. Welcome to yet another episode of Claremont Speaks. I know you're all looking forward to it, as was I. This week, just like I announced on the city council meeting, of which I'm sure both of you who are listening to it wait for me to publish this, we're having something fun this week. We've had the election. We've had all the divisiveness and the people beating each other up, beating each other's brains in on Facebook and all that, and it's enough. We're going to do something this week a little fun. And what I decided to do is that we didn't really get a good chance with all the election and everything to celebrate the Dodgers' big win. 2020 hasn't been, by any measure, a stellar year where everything just went groovy and smooth. And all that nonsense that's from COVID, schmovid, and everything else, politics ad nauseum. The one good thing that happened, we'll say two, was the Lakers and the Dodgers both prevailed. This week, we'd like to celebrate that by having three folks, Claremont residents, who are, and I guarantee this, you'll see, Dodger fans extraordinaire. These are the folks that go to 11, okay? I used to get criticized for being too into cars. I don't know if I was into cars as much as these folks are into the Dodgers, and that's a good thing. They are entertaining. The guffaws in the background that you hear are my co-host for this week. He is a lawyer. He's on the city council, but I like him anyway. He is the sports fan of all sports fans, Jed Liano. Jed, say hi to the Claremont Speak.
Wow. Good to be with you. Sorry, I had to throw the Howard Stern reference in.
Oh, that's okay. If I could make just 10% of Howard's money, I'd be fine.
Couldn't we all? Yeah. It's great to be here, buddy. Let me just start off by congratulating you, your podcast. Not only is it successful because it has awesome topics, really good guests, but when you come to the council meetings to pitch and plug your podcast, I got to tell you, that is like open mic night at the city council. Okay. It's awesome. I got to congratulate you on doing a great job pitching. And I promise you, in my residency being a guest co-host, no politics, not going to talk anything city hall, nothing that's going on at the city council chamber, only here to support you and to entertain your fans.
Provide sports knowledge to another level, which, again, I can only aspire to.
Let me tell you what, you chose the right time to get on the air and talk Dodgers, because we all would talk about how we need some healing post-election. There's a lot to celebrate, man. This is a moment. The Lakers and the Dodgers, first of all, something amazing is that the Dodgers haven't won the World Series since 1988. That's 32 years ago, man. Yeah, the kids at the Claremont Colleges were not alive when the Dodgers won their last World Series. And ironically, in 88, the Lakers also won the NBA Finals in 88. So the last time the Dodgers won a World Series, it also happened that year in 1988 that the Lakers won the NBA championship. So a lot to celebrate. I'm really glad that not only do we get to talk about something that's joyous and exciting, but here's the fact, man. I am a crazy sports fan. And so to be able to share that with Claremont people and just connect in that way, we don't need to fight over anything political. We just need to share each other's stories and celebrate the fact that we all love sports. I think that's incredible. So I'm glad that you provide that opportunity to do that.
I've got some other interviews coming up this week that are serious in nature, or at least constructive, but this is just for the fun of it. Now, let's give the people of Claremont the other side of Jed. We all know the Councilman Jed, and some of us, for better or worse, know the lawyer Jed. But what about the sports fan Jed? You told me that probably one of the biggest indicators of how deep you are as a sports fan had to do with a ring you picked out that had to be just the right color. Why don't you tell us about that?
So you actually came and told the story at the city council meeting trying to roast me, but you did get the story wrong because you said it was for a baseball team. So let me just give you the backdrop. I went to the University of Kentucky. I went to college. I got my bachelor's degree at UK, graduated 2001, bachelor's in communication. And Kentucky is a basketball school, okay? In the history of college basketball, there are a number of blue blood programs, schools that have histories of college basketball. Kentucky's at the top of that list. North Carolina, where Michael Jordan went, also on the top of that list. Duke, UCLA, Indiana, Kansas.
Indiana is like the most rabid group there is, isn't it?
They've fallen off a little bit because they haven't had success in a really long time. They haven't won a championship since the 80s. I want to say it's 85 or 86. The mid-80s was the last time they won a championship. And they haven't really been an elite program since then. First of all, I went to college there, so I'm clearly biased. But any objective measure of what's the greatest basketball program in the history of college sports, Kentucky basketball is clearly at the top of that list. And here's, let me tell you why. The reason simply is that ever since they've been recording basketball championships, Kentucky has won basketball championships in every era. UCLA had John Wooden, and they won a bunch of championships under Wooden. But outside of Wooden, they had one title under Jim Herrick, and that was in the 1990s. Kentucky has won 8 national championships under 5 different coaches in 5 different decades. We are always competing for championships, okay? And so when you go to college at the University of Kentucky, I like to joke a lot that you major in basketball and then you get a minor in whatever you actually study. So the thing is that the irony about going to University of Kentucky is when you leave college, every basketball game that's on TV, it's like you're back in Lexington, Kentucky again. It's like game night at school. That part never leaves your heart. And when I met my wife, like a major turning point in our relationship, we started dating and things got serious and I was beginning to fall in love and it was a lovely story. And then there came that moment when we had to watch a game together. And I'm not joking you, Russ. When I told my parents that, yeah, I'm going to Liz's apartment, we're going to watch the Kentucky game at her house, my dad said, put her on the phone, like a 30-minute phone conversation with her. And he was like, listen, you need to understand, okay? It's going to get loud in your apartment right now, okay? He is going to scream at your television. And if they lose tonight, this is not going to be a pleasant dinner tonight.
Oh, it's going to be Doritos everywhere.
So this is how Liz got introduced to my family. And when I proposed to Liz, when I wanted to get married to her, it was 2011 when I decided I was going to propose to her and get engaged. And so I wanted to go and buy a ring. And I wanted her to have a ring with a blue sapphire gemstone and diamonds around it. Now, the irony is that around that time that we got engaged, that's also the same time when Prince William got married to Princess Kate. And at the time, that ring looked very similar. So when people saw Liz's engagement ring, they thought, oh, your fiance gave you a ring like Princess Kate. And my wife has to always like stop you. No, he gave me this because it has Kentucky blue and he always wants me wearing Kentucky blue. And that year, Kentucky went to the Final Four and there's a photograph of Brandon Knight popping his jersey because he had just hit a big game winner against Ohio State that year.
Oh, against Ohio State, right?
Against Ohio State. It was a jump shot from about 22 feet side of the key.
Like these magicians can do.
There you go. Like with hand in his face and he makes this shot and then they win the game. And there's this picture of Brandon Knight popping his jersey. And I walked into the jeweler in downtown LA on Hill Street in the jewelry district. And I showed this guy the picture of Brandon Knight popping his jersey. And I said, show me the sapphires and we're going to pick the one that looks like this jersey. Now, mind you, that was 2011. In 2012, the following year, so we had 10 month engagement. We were going to get married the following year in 2012. And my wife suggested that we go to Paris. And so, of course, I said, yeah, let's go wherever you want. It's fine with me. But we had to schedule the wedding to be April, third week of April, so that the Final Four championship was over. Till March Madness was over. And I'll never forget, I was at dinner with some of my friends and we were talking about when we wanted to go to Paris. It was like going to be my wife and like, in 7 months, I said to her, we can't get married in March because it's the Final Four. And I swear to God, the look on her face, I've never seen a look on her face like that. I felt so bad. Like, I'm really
like fire and brimstone.
I think she wanted to go in March. And I just said, we can't because Kentucky's going to win the national championship this year. And ironically, they did, Russ. The great irony is that we postponed going to Paris to get married in March. We went in April, and believe it or not, they did win the championship.
They stopped at the game on the way to Paris.
That's true. The game was in New Orleans, so go figure. Yeah, stopped in the French Quarter. Yeah. So the Kentucky basketball for me, that is a religion. Following Kentucky basketball is, I could tell you the recruits we have coming in, what is their game, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, who do we lose this year? But that said, I grew up a baseball fan. I grew born and raised in Anaheim. So I'm an Angels fan. I was an Angels fan when the Angels were horrible, and they're still horrible, but they had a streak from about 2002 to about 2009 when the Angels were very good on a regular basis. So that 8-year stretch, that aside, I was a diehard baseball fan. And so as it comes to the Dodgers, the irony is that when I got my first job in LA working at a law firm, my boss had Dodger season tickets and he shared it with three judges. So I used to go to about 10 home games a year. I got to know the Dodger franchise pretty well. And it's a very admirable fan base. I really appreciate Dodger fans, in a lot like Kentucky fans. They're pretty unreasonable. Like every year's the year, right? When just mathematically speaking, every year's totally not the year. But there's something special about that.
Cubs fans, they said it for 100 years. Entire generations came and went, had t-shirts that said, okay, next year.
They were cursed by this goat. There was this kid who tried to bring his goat into Wrigley Field and the goat wasn't allowed. So they said that there was this curse because of that. You got to be pretty messed up to think your team's not winning because of a goat.
Almost like believing astrology. Shut up.
What I think is awesome about this year, a lot of things about this year are not awesome. Let's be real. Okay. The fact that we're doing this and we're not in a studio, the fact that we're doing this online is a sign of the times. So to be able to just have some joy talking sports, talking Dodgers, talking Lakers, it's a real treat.
Let's talk what we're going to do here. We've interviewed three candidates for the Uber Dodger fan.
Yeah.
I think after our interviews, because we're doing this a little bit out of order, we're doing this after the fact, I think each of the Dodger fans have made it so difficult to decide. We're not going to have voting. We're not going to have a winner. They are all winners. Each of the Dodger fans were on about an hour or so. We're going to trim it down to the highlights, put the extended version up as well for people who want more and more. And I'd like to get some feedback, of course, from the Claremont Speaks listeners as to who is their favorite, but it's not going to be voting. From what we heard, what do you think is the part that surprises you most about the folks that Claremont Speaks listeners are going to hear?
I'll leave it to the listeners to make their own conclusions and come up with their own opinions. But what's really fascinating about the people that we talk to is that the Dodger fandom, it cuts across age and lifestyle and personality. You can't just put the hardcore Dodger fan in our community into this one homogeneous group where they all think, talk, act, live the same way. The love for the Dodgers cuts across all kinds of different people. I think we saw that. We basically interviewed people of different backgrounds, ages, professions. And so that was cool.
Yet the depth of knowledge of the Dodgers prevailed overall. I think they could much sooner recite Oral Hershiser's stats than remember their own driver's license number or something like that.
Although I got to tell you, they all have this tremendous amount of knowledge in their own way. And so one person can literally memorize pitch by pitch of a game. One person can memorize a particular play or a roster or a lineup. One person can give you the breakdown of like how a certain position is supposed to train their body. I mean, the depth to this knowledge is just unreal, man. And it's cool. I think it's awesome. Well,
no, I would never think about it. One of the comments I loved was, looked like a Dodger.
The experience of when your team wins, the euphoria that comes from that definitely showed. People definitely experienced a catharsis. So much happened from the time when the Dodgers won in 88 to now. You went through a dark time when the owner wasn't putting together a team that was competing for championships. You had them lose a game 7 to a team that was later found to be cheating. You had inexplicably the best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw, always seems to get to the playoffs and just can't put it together and can't be the elite pitcher he is throughout the year in the World Series. And so yet all these things happen. The final thing to top it off is the most exciting and coveted baseball player, with the exception maybe of Mike Trout, the most coveted and exciting player in baseball, Mookie Betts. The Dodgers make a trade for him. They send 5 players to 2 different teams to bring this guy to the Dodgers. So here we are. It was this perfect storm of all these things that came together. And I think what's fascinating about the interviews that we did is not only hearing how people felt about winning the championship, but how they felt in the dark time, how they felt in the past when they were down 3-1 of the Braves, when they weren't winning for 20 years. It's a long road to get to here. And to be able to hear people's journey to finally get to this World Series, it's really wonderful. And it's also nice to find another thing to connect with your neighbors about. The irony about all this is that one of the persons that we interviewed, I've walked by his house with my dog probably 100 times. I know exactly where his house is. Like, he told us, I live at on this intersection. And it's incredible. I probably walked by him. And then here we are now talking Dodgers baseball. So no idea, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. So here we are.
So instead of all these yard signs that are now landfill, do you think it'd be cooler to just to throw up a flag or like you stick out in front, Dodger fan? And so you could find each other, Laker fan, and you could just leave it there. And then somebody walking their dog would go by and go, oh, you too, you've got the disease. Oh, yeah, I'm thoroughly infected. Oh, you're not talking COVID. Oh, no, we're talking Dodgers. Like Ratso Rizzo walking across the street. It's, whoa, we're talking Dodgers here.
When you go flag, that's pretty serious. Most people save the flagpole for their country, maybe their state, maybe if they were in the armed services for their branch of the military. So when you go team.
Are you at all a hockey fan?
Not a hockey fan.
I get it, but I don't get it. Either you love it or you don't.
Irony about that, Russ, is that friends of mine tried to get me into it, and the way that they described it was just amazing. They gave me these descriptions. Man, that's awesome. And then you're sitting there watching a bunch of dudes skate. You're like, yeah, I'm not down with this. I don't know what's up.
I think that the rink is just like standing next to the starting line at Top Fuel. If you haven't experienced that, you don't get it. You don't get the same hockey sitting up in the rafters or at home on TV.
My son is 6 years old. He's a first grader. He's been to one Kentucky game in Vegas. I turned 40 last year, and I told my family that for my birthday, I wanted everyone to come to Las Vegas so we could all go to a Kentucky game together. And we did that, luckily. And then ironically, the season ended and there was no championship. So for us, that was our tournament. I did take Wells to the Genesis Open in Los Angeles to see Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods. He's been to several Angels baseball games. He loves the ballpark, just this huge baseball stadium with a bunch of people and then the organ and the wave, the whole experience of being at a baseball game. He really loves.
I really watch something. TV is just not good enough.
It isn't. The one thing that is pretty cool, and this is something that I'm really happy about. I actually grew up playing golf with Tiger Woods. So Tiger's 3 years older than me. And we both grew up playing golf at Anaheim Dad Miller Golf Course, which is in Anaheim. That's where I was born and raised. Tiger was from Cyprus. And we grew up playing there. And when Tiger became a star, he built Tiger Woods Learning Center at Dad Miller, which is this golf course off of Gilbert in West Anaheim. And Tiger's still a huge star, even though he's not the number one player in the world. It's not even close. He's the biggest draw. He's the most fascinating sports personality in golf, maybe the most fascinating sports personality in all of pro sports, not even just his own. And Wells loves Tiger. He loves watching him play, just the way he approaches golf, how serious he is. He's built. He looks like he could play wide receiver for the Raiders. He's strong. He's fast. He's built. He plays. Oh, no, I'm talking about Tiger, not my kid.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your kid.
No, I loves watching Tiger play. And okay. So I took Wells to Dad Miller to let him to play there. And it was a couple of things. I told him this is where Daddy grew up playing golf. And I took him to the course and then he really liked it. But I also showed him this is where Tiger grew up playing too. So he's really right now into the history of golf. But yeah, going to those landmark places where your favorite folk heroes in any sport either started playing or came from, that's a very nostalgic thing. I think that there's something special about the humility of starting out like that. There's this very beautiful Nike commercial about Rory McIlroy growing up as a little kid, seeing Tiger Woods on TV. And it shows the blue collar upbringing he had. His father was tending a bar and he grew up in this very humble household. And it gives you these excerpts of when he's a child moving on through the stages of becoming a very good young junior golfer and then a pro. And then finally teeing off one day as a professional with his idol, Tiger Woods, and competing against him. It's a beautiful commercial called The Ripple. I really encourage anyone to see it sometime. It'll bring tears to your eyes.
Such so that you forget what they're actually trying to sell you in the commercial.
That's right. That's right. And the feeling that what is being shared with you is not a sports product, but it's really a dream, a feeling. Don Draper said, what is advertising? Advertising is that feeling that everything's going to be all right.
And yeah, so, it's aspirational.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that our folks that we're going to have on here in a little bit look at baseball in the same way. They want to see something. They want to experience something. There's the risk of it going wrong, but
the dream is still alive. So if you grew up with baseball, if you've been a baseball fan for a very long time, you understand that the way that these teams are playing now is completely different. And I think what we're going to get out of these interviews with these baseball fans, these hardcore Dodger fans, is not only their joy and exultation from seeing the Dodgers do great, but also their attitudes about baseball's changing. And how do you feel about that? What do you miss about the old style? And I think we're going to hear a lot of that commentary come out.
Okay. Well, let's do this. We'll move right on into episode one, guest number one, Patty Havens.
That's right. And before we move on to Patty, I just want to put a place marker right now. I promise you, Russ, that after my son Wells wins the Masters, he will make Claremont Speaks his first interview stop. What do you say?
I couldn't be happier. If I'm still alive, let's do that. I'll pencil it in for sometime pre-death. And not having kids, I'll have to stay tuned and see how it goes.
Hey, bud, anytime you want to join us and play nine holes, you're always welcome. We live in Southern California, man. And I'll tell you, during COVID, golf is very safe because you're outdoors and you are very far from people.
And I know that the way I would hit the ball, I would be really far from people. It'd be probably like the course that had not been explored yet. It'd be like animals would be sitting around going, "Who?
This isn't a fairway.
Oh, this is a forest. What are you doing it?" It's like, I'm playing it where it lies. Shut up, you rabbit.
That's
you
know? Right. That's the beauty of COVID is because it is safe. We've been out there several times a week and Wells has really improved immensely. And it's been a joy to just see him grow as a golfer. I can just see it with my own eyes. Like he's thinking of new questions. He's asking, tell me, what do I do about this? Why did this go this way? And to be able to teach him that and to see his brain processing that has been one of the biggest joys of my life. And man, getting back to these interviews, I hope that there's just a feeling that of kinship and camaraderie with our neighbors, that these are people from all different kinds of walks of life and ages and demographics, and they're all brought together by this beautiful sport, baseball, and their love of this team. And that's a remarkably cool thing to be connected and unified in that way. Something really beautiful about that. So I'm glad that we were able to do that, Russ. It's awesome, man. Like these are just some cool interviews with some really lovely people who got, you could hear the excitement in their voice over this.
They're just reliving the moment.
That's right. So I'm glad we put this together, bud. And again, I really want to congratulate you on the success of your podcast.
Interviews of the candidates worked out wonderfully. I doubt the podcasts were the absolute catalyst to success, but I will say that all the folks who won their candidate positions were on my podcast, and all the folks who did not do my podcast did not win.
And I look forward to reconvening these super fans.
Before opening day, we're going to get these folks together for a group roundtable that will kick off the new season nicely.
Absolutely, bud. Looking forward to that and had a blast chatting with these folks with you.
Excellent. And so Claremont, stay tuned. You can listen to them in any order you want to. And then each will be about a half hour. And then if you want to listen to more, those will be posted as well. All right. Enjoy. Thank you, Claremont. And be here next time when Claremont speaks.
Hey now.
LOS, LOS, Chavez Ravine, OG, Field of Dreams. LOS, no COYERS, coming through, Grand Slam on you, please. LOS, LOS.